All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 57, right, Jay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nailed it. First try. Let's Didn't even go. Have to ask this week.
First try.
I 100% nice. Just asked him before we went live. 100% just asked him. I am Blue Squadron, one of your hosts here, as always, joined with Jay Kuhn.
Hi, my name is Jake, and I'm an Awakening Wisdom Maiden 765 gear score. I do a lot of endgame PvE content, such as Olin's Dungeons. I'm currently preparing my alts for the release of the family-wide life skills, and you can find me over at twitch.tv/JakeunVTV before the T.
Right on! And everybody's favorite caster, Blondbear.
Hello, I'm Blondbear, twitch.tv/Blondbear. Catch me and my hot L takes while I grind Olin's.
Oh my god.
Yes, Blonde is somebody that you watch for kind of the middle ground of carried, because he one-taps everything. Every time he opens the enhancement window, it actually just says succeed instead of enhance. But when he goes to a grind zone, he couldn't get a drop to save his life. So it's kind of a love-hate relationship. We love to hate Blonde. It's great. So we decided to try something a little bit new today at the start of the podcast. We're going to read over some of the comments from the previous podcast that you guys had. You can see there's 132 comments this week, and we'll take a look at these. The top comment here is, Devs, if you're watching, we don't claim Blonde Bear, no weekly quest for Slumbering God weapons. Again, Blonde Bear taking yet another L. We love him. We love him to death. F4024 to skip Blonde Bear arguing with himself over something no one wants.
Listen, you can disagree with things that are good for you, okay? You know, a lot of people don't like veggies when they're kids, but they're good for you, okay?
The way Blonde Bear thinks hurts my head, lol. He just keeps going back and forth with this argument to no end. Then there's everyone A, Blonde Bear, I like B.
Listen, it is important to go back and forth on why you like things. I think that is important. It really fleshes out what makes the things work and not work. It helps your brain go fully through the process. That's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I promise.
Malik8517 says, also, would love if PA came out with more stuff for free-to-play players, letting free-to-play players trade Cronstones to others for Pearl Shop outfits. Would be a good substitute for blowing up outfits into crons, so people are still getting outfits, and it keeps more people playing while giving endgame players or pay-to-win players a better way of getting crons. I don't think that's actually possible, right? It's like really obvious why you can't do that, right?
It'd be really difficult to execute it right.
Yeah it's just RMT. Tough. People would just real money transaction that every time. Like, it would be, there's a reason that we can't do in-game trading very often, and it's because the RMT would go crazy. I can't wait to see Blonde Bear's takes. I love you all. Yeah, see, there we go. That was positive, Blonde. We're going to take that as an objective W.
You're going to have to scroll all the way to the bottom to get the positive Blonde ones, just saying.
Okay. Comparing a...
Everybody's got a lot of thumbs down.
Comparing a pity system to a weekly gated system, maybe the most confusing thing I've heard. One, limit the amount of frustration you can get from RNG. The other is the game artificially telling you, wait till next week to continue. Well, I mean, like, it was kind of just a tough thing, you know what I mean? Like, I would rather just be able to play as much as I want, you know what I mean? And, like, just continue progressing. Mm-hmm. But Blonde had an interesting take on it. Blonde's take on PvPers having already too much to grind for is based. Here we go, Blonde. He's got two upvotes, probably just you and him.
Let's
but
go.
You know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
But I think the devs in general are aiming for ranked PvP to be capped anyway, which means all you need is level 61, level 62. What would be even better is if they made the weapon hybrid path of PvP, PvE, giving two separate quest lines for people to get rewards in open world PvP or other forms of PvP to progress weapons and a PvE, and then it trailed off. But like... Mm-hmm. I think that any form of ranked PvP and BDO kind of has to be capped. I don't think that you can have it be uncapped. The problem is
because you want skill to be the
correct
the challenge, if right? You want to measure the skill, not the gear.
Right. So, like, I don't really think that you can have PvP in an MMO be uncapped and still have it be based entirely on skill alone. Okay, so let's see if I can find one more that people really agree with. I'll come down here. I absolutely despise daily or weekly quests. The reason being, I hate when I feel like I'm being forced to log into the game. If I have to log in every day for 10 weeks to get a specific item I need, I just won't do it. And in most cases, depending on what it is, I just say F it and quit the game because I know there's always going to be days I don't want to log in because I had IRL stuff to do, resulting in missing out on even longer on what I want to grind for. When a game allows me to collect what I need at my own pace is why I stick around. Say I need 200 of something to get my reward. One day I have tons of free time and am in a grinding mood, so I grind 50 to 60 of them immediately. Then decide I'm kind of burnt out, so I take a day off to do other things. Then I come back, only feel like grinding 10 that day. Just having the freedom of choice to do it is not to do it or not when you want is what matters in my opinion. I don't know. I would generally agree with him there. Blonde, what's your opinion?
I think the happy medium is the way the potions were done, right? Like they went into, they like had the quest, so you can do that. They introduced a bunch of spots that would also drop it. I think that the potion method is like the happy medium between those, because players will still feel like they're making progress even if they get unlucky with that weekly quest. And also, yeah, for the people that want to hardcore grind it out, they have the ability to. And I think that that works. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think so too. Jay, what are your thoughts on it there?
Yeah.
Jay, this is why no one likes you and nobody ever comments about anything that you say. What? You've got to take a stance on something, Jay. We talked about this. You've got to take a definitive stance.
Jay's a hardcore grinder. He'd rather just be able to grind it, right, Jay?
Yeah.
I was going to say, that looks like Jay right there.
Yeah,
down
with Blonde Bear. Yeah.
Wait a second.
Attaboy.
Hold on. Wait.
All right. So our first comment or our first topic of the day is going to be something that Blonde's absolutely going to have a super hot take on, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Node War panic that we have going on the Global Labs. Currently, the Global Lab patch introduced, they said, hey, we're currently working on like this, like the Node War changes, and they will be out soon. And then they released this teaser picture of what is basically going to come next for Node Wars. And people have been basically freaking out about this photo all week long. So if I zoom out here, you guys should be able to see this mostly. But essentially what this looks like is that the guilds are going to be able to choose one of two regions, and then it's 50-50 whether or not you get actually placed on that region. And then obviously it's random what node you would be on that region on that evening. It also looks like this number 100 right here has a lot of people very, very scared, mm-hmm. Because it looks like it's going to be 100 man caps for every single node. We know how well that went last time. So like people are very up in arms about this, you know. I mean, like on the forums, people have been voicing concerns about this. Partner chat's been voicing concerns about this. A lot of the media partners are kind of concerned. I'm curious, you guys don't do Node Wars. Do you two care?
Well, I did used to do Node Wars Blue.
Okay, and... yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you Node War?
It seems like, you know, that back then, but I did do the Node Wars back when I was in Vertex and participated a bit in APOC. It seems like with the changes that were outlined in that late night talk, it's going to be a lot more attack centric. It doesn't seem like we're going to be able to put down any forts, so like I don't know if there's going to be any more defense options. There were like options for players who weren't particularly skilled in PvP combat to contribute to the war effort, like cannoning, flame towers, placing down structures, elephant riding. I don't know if that's still going to be retained, but you know, I mainly played Shy because, you know, there's buffs and stuff like that. Go ahead.
I don't actually think we're going to get this. We did not get. See, I think the other regions that already had their. Like the duration of the Node Wars was already reduced to an hour to kind of get ready for this change.
Yeah.
We did not get that change. And then we had the CMs reach out on the forums and say officially we were not going to be getting the Node War changes on the Global Labs at that time. Now, the reason people are freaking out about this is, well, technically we could technically still get this change without getting the 1 hour change. But I don't think that that would make much sense. I don't personally think we're going to get this change. I am not super concerned about this. I think that if we do get this change, yeah, it's very concerning. But I think that a region like KR that really struggles with like the cartel, and they actually call it the cartel. They have a a problem on their node war scene where their top three guilds are all very good friends with each other, and they will just basically drop on a node to completely annihilate the weaker guilds and not even let them have a chance to fight, and then they'll just hand, when everybody else is wiped off, they'll just hand the node to each other without actually fighting, which is really crappy for their node war scene, and just really just terrible human beings kind of running their PvP scene. So this is the developer's take on trying to fix the cartel, as it were, in Korea. And I don't think we're going to get this in NA, because, again, this is not really a problem with NA. I'm going to hope that the North American and EU offices are kind of advocating that we don't get a change like this. But, like, yeah, it does have a lot of people panicked. In the meantime, yo, Divios, thanks for the big raid, buddy. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Everybody coming over from Divios stream. I hope you guys had a good one.
Divios, hi.
We love Divios. That is the best PvPer in the game worldwide. He is the faker of Black Desert Online. If you guys don't know who he is, make sure to go give him a follow. He's good at multiple different classes. He's amazing at the game, and he generally is extremely educated on all things PvP and even PvE, because he's done that for years. Absolute specimen, so make sure you guys go give him a follow. Thanks so much.
Oh my
Divios.
God, we might have a an open guest spot next week, you know. Divios.
Pog dog, yeah. All right, we get Divios up in here. That'd be sick. So the next thing that we're gonna be talking about here is the 200% BSR rework.
Wait. I had to stuff to say about the Nova stuff.
Oh, he's god, here we go.
Okay, so
go ahead.
This change makes it so you don't have forts and stuff, right? Like, you just get placed randomly and they automatically choose all your like your preset forts, and you don't have to do any of that stuff, right? Is that what it is? Because it's random.
Yeah.
Does it not solve one of the problems we had a discussion about a few months ago about, like, guild leads and the staff having so much to manage because they had to do the forts and they had to fight and negotiate about all this stuff? Doesn't that kind of solve that problem that we talked about?
Yeah, it solves that problem while creating about 8 more.
I definitely agree. It's making other problems, but
it made way more problems than it
very
solved.
Odd to just like it's just a random gamble of where you're gonna go and what you're gonna do. How do they? I guess because they wanted, that's the only way to stir up the cartel issue. But like, no other region's having a problem where like they have to stir it up even more, right? Like, it's just a KR centric problem.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that, like, you definitely work way too hard as a GM or an advisor or just an officer in general in a guild. Like, you just work out of your mind, and it's an unpaid job. You don't really get anything for it. Like, to be honest with you, you should be making, like, if you, like, plant a fort and win a node, I think that the leadership should get, like, a bunch of extra rewards on top of, like, what the members normally get. That's just my opinion.
We should just keep having like the current version, even with the case in, or do you think maybe like it will split?
The current version is better. What they have, yeah, I think that it will split. I think the KR will have their own version of Node Wars, and we will have our own version.
Even with all the stress of like some guilds like breaking off just because their leadership can't do it anymore, like if we were to get more guilds because it was a lot less work on the top end, like would that not like pull more people back into it?
I'm not sure that you're gonna get more like competent guilds by making it less work. Generally speaking, my experience in BDO is a guild is only as strong as its leadership core can allow it to be. So if your leadership core is weak, your guild will be weak. It might take you a while, but that's just kind of how it is. The people that spend more time setting up fights, making things work for their guild, handling HR issues, building a community, the more they're in voice, right, and available, that guild's just going to be more successful. And I think that there's always going to be people. I think it's okay that they work a lot because, to be honest with you, they want to. Let's just keep it a buck. There are some people that, like, let's be real. Like, the real life is not going super hot. And, like the Black Desert community that you're building is kind of just, like, the best part of your life.
Like, the second family.
You know what I mean? And, like, that's where all your primary friends are that you talk to every day. And so, like, people do want to spend a lot of time trying to make sure that those people have a great time within the game. So I don't mind that they work really hard. I would like to see them get rewarded more in-game for it. I'm not sure that taking the load off by making everything randomized is necessarily a super great way to do it, because you're going to end up with situations where Cho Nation is fighting Pekko 4 days in a row based on RNG. You know what I mean? That's a little rough.
So if this system were to come and, like, it does kind of solve one problem while creating 8 more, what would you change about this system that would make it so that they don't have pre-designed, like, what would you do, like a bidding system on fort locations and stuff like that? Or, like, does it have to always be kind of, like, how would you take this and then improve it three steps over to get rid of those other problems? Because I feel like it, if this leads to more guild health and management and leadership being around more because they can revive other parts of their guild because they're not sitting there doing all of that extra politicking and all that extra stuff where they're, like, managing the guild, and it's, like, it can be really exhausting week after week. Even though it is a passion to do, it's, and you get a payout out of it because it's like, you know, you have a thriving guild. If it means that we get more guilds participating and active because there's a lot less of the workload, how would we improve that, the system as it is right now, if we were to get this change, right?
Well, you need to allow two things. Either one, they need to set up fight. There needs to be an in-game system for setting up a balanced fight, would be fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, the problem is, I think that gives, there's not enough control for, like, I don't know, if people want to backstab and stuff, to be honest with you, I think that people should be able to do that.
Yeah.
I think, no, like I it's agree. A bit of a hot take, but, like, if somebody wants to just completely ruin a fight by backstabbing or doing whatever, I think you should kind of, it's a free country, it's a free game, I think you should let them do that, you know what I mean? And live with the consequences that kind of go through, that kind of go with that. So, like, I think the only thing you can really do is allow, like, an in-game alliance system when the node war, like, starts, or 5 minutes before the node war starts, you get a list of all the guilds, and you can kind of choose an alliance side if you want to. And, like,
okay, like those an extra guilds, step.
Yeah, and so those guilds
how early
are all,
do you know where you're going to be?
When and then there's no friendly fire. And then there's no friendly fire or whatever. Or at least, though, like, maybe there is friendly fire, but, like, you're all the same color or something. Or, like, you know, you're different shades of green, and then the enemy side is different shades of red. You know what I mean? It automatically assigns colors.
Yeah.
But then you could, if you wanted to, you could technically change sides during the node war as well.
So with this system, how early do you know where you're going to be and what's going to happen? Like, do you even know before it starts?
You'd have to know probably. You'd have to know. It would have to tell you how many people are dropped on the node an hour in advance. So, like,
that's the new system that is coming?
No. That's how it is right now. That's cut off.
Cut off.
Yeah, an hour before node war is cut off, so you can't play sports anymore. That would be when the game would, like, tell the GM or tell the advisor or whoever in the guild, hey, these are the guilds on node. Pick an alliance side, A, B, C, D, whatever, right? And then, like, you could, you know, just be by yourself. You know, there could be, like, a category for, like, just being by yourself as well, if that's what you want to do. And then it would allow you to basically very quickly, okay, I can set a fight, bam, 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 bam. And then, like, this is an equal fight. You know what I mean? You could technically do that. I think that would take some of the load off early on, but, like, the problem with doing that is then people are placed all over the node, and, like, you still have the issue that, like,
hard to organize,
yeah,
like,
people have to be
alliance.
Able to place together. Yeah, so, like, declared, you'd have to just not place a fort. You just have to declare that you want to be on that node, and then like, it would tell you which guilds are here, right? Like, an hour before, it would tell you which guilds are here, and then you could pick a side, and then the game would just place you bam 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 based on which side you're on, and then you could switch sides, like, once per node war if you really wanted to, you know, so that you could do that crazy backstabbing crap that we talk about.
Do we know with the new system how early it notifies you, or is it literally when the node war starts, you figure it out?
I have no idea. I don't think that it doesn't notify you at all. I think you just basically, it just tells you what region you're on, and then you just, it kind of just drops you in, and you're just sending.
Oh god.
And then you're just sending.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
I don't like that, because then it's just an RBF. I'll be honest with you.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
There's an element to Node Wars and Siege that, like, is fun because it's complicated. It's fun because it's extremely in depth, and people enjoy those because the leadership cords can get, like, super sweaty with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any, like, really good answer for Node Wars other than to kind of leave it where it is, and then kind of figure out how you can take either the burden off of leadership a little bit without... You need to allow people to set up fights. And you need to allow people...
Board designs or something like that.
Yeah, people call politics cringe, but what most people don't understand is politics make the fight even...
Make a good fight.
For everybody. Yeah, yeah, because otherwise the small guilds just get immediately obliterated. Nobody has any fun. Like usually politics is required just to make sure the fight is fun for everybody. And that's just kind of how it works. So, I'm not sure there's any one good solution. I think the system that we have is better than the system that they proposed. Simply put. So, like, I don't like that very much.
Because this is like a cartel response specifically to not let them.
Correct.
Mess
to drop
up,
together
right?
and know where the setup fights are. And,
no, definitely.
In this way, also declaring for a node also saves people. Like, if you just declared for a node, right, and then an hour before the game just kind of built your fort for you or whatever, that would probably save a tremendous amount of work on leadership's part. And then, like, you could set up fights in that way really quickly, about an hour before. That way you don't have, like, dude, I'm telling you, politics sometimes. I've woken up to thousands of messages.
Messages, yeah, I bet.
Thousands of messages before. Like, I would wake up in the morning, I'd be like, this is what happened. And he'd be like, soggy happened, Blue. Soggy happened. You know what I mean? Like, it would just, like, people just go flying off the handle, and then you got to catch up on everything. It's definitely obnoxious. So, yeah, I'm not sure there's any one solution. I don't think we're going to get those node war changes. I would not panic too much, guys, on that. And if we do get those node war changes, it's time to send the trucks.
Then we panic.
Yeah, then it's time to send the trucks to PA headquarters. Dude, am I right, boys?
I swear when Jay did the board thing, didn't they talk about, like, a ranking system or something? Or was that specifically for the GVG thing?
That was for GVGs.
What do you think, like, ranking in a node war system would work ever? With, like, with this random fort thing tied into it as well, obviously, not with, like...
I don't think there's any way to rank a guild based on a node war system. It's not like Guild League, where you have, like, a one clear decisive winner every time. The strongest guild does not always win the node. So, you're going to get lopsided things where it says Pekko is the strongest guild in North America because Cho didn't take a node for, like, three straight days, right? Like, that's obnoxious.
So you really
and that's
do
not
have
true.
To leave it up to the players to figure out their fights.
Correct.
College
you just
is the
have
only
to
way
know.
To get a good fight always. You're never going to get a random situation, because if it's random, you're going to get strongest guild versus weakest guild, and it's just, like, that's kind
of
boring.
Yeah, and you can't do it by the number of people yesing up, because then you have, like, something like Statistic pairing up against Cho Nation because they both had 100 people yes up. Like, okay, well, we're just gonna get bulldozed in 10 minutes. So I think there is a certain amount of it that you do have to leave it to the community, and I think that's totally fine. I think it's okay to do that.
What do you do when you have a guild like Cho Nation who's just better and stronger than everybody else, and they just have no one that can strive up to the point where they can fight anybody? Like, what do you do? Do you just, like, kill the guild so that they spread out and then everybody else gets, like, a little bit stronger? Or,
well, the thing, like, to understand,
how do those members continue to have fun if there's no competition?
So the problem that people don't understand is, like, people always say Cho needs to die because it's the strongest guild, they've been the strongest forever. If Cho dies, those players will disperse into weaker guilds. And that's just simply not how it works. If you've been around the node war scene long enough, like I have, you see what happens when a guild dies is generally people stay together, right? So if Cho Nation were to die, for example, all of those players would probably pick a guild to go to. We'll say, since Ethereum died a couple days ago, I'll go ahead and say they would go, okay, we're going to go to Ethereum. And then now Ethereum is the strongest guild because all the Cho Nation players went there. People are not just going to forsake their friends for the sake of the PvP scene. That's not how it works.
Or you just have people quit when they don't get to play with their friends and they're kind of done with the game, which isn't good either.
Right. I actually don't mind Cho being the strongest guild. I know it's a bit of a hot take. Everybody loves to hate the people that are out in front. And I know that Cho does not like me very much. But at the end of the day, I've done politics with Roots. I've worked with him a lot of times on setting up fights and stuff. And I'm happy that he's the guy that's in charge. I'm just going to keep it a buck. Because, I've seen some of the other guild leadership cores.
Yeah.
Roots is always going to put Cho Nation first. You can always expect that from any leadership member. You can expect that from Lodes. You can expect that from Soggy. You can expect from Kai and Barcode. Almost said Viz. Oh, my goodness. They're always going to put their guild first. But at the end of the day, we don't have a top three guilds that are just, like, constantly trying to destroy the scene for everybody else. Right? Like, they hate each other. And that's good for us. Right, like the fact that like Roots and Lodes are kind of at odds with each other, or the fact that Cho and Digi are kind of always rivaling with each other is a good thing. The fact that they understand not to literally just completely demolish fights for the sake of demolishing fights. Now, it does happen from time to time. Obviously, they commit acts of terrorism from time to time. It does happen, right? They're just trying to get content for their guild most of the time. And no, it doesn't feel good when they do stuff like that. But, like, on the whole, we don't really see them ruining smaller guild fights, are like dropping on T1s and just bulldozing the entire node
to get to the point where we get more players, stronger players. Like, they understand a healthy scene, right? They're not trying to kill the game like the cartel, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's I don't mind having them on top. There's always going to be a strongest guild that is what it is. I think in order to reach that top level, you need to have a leadership core that is consistent, and you need to recruit the best players that aren't in Cho. So, like, at the bottom line is the reason Cho is the best is because their players are the best. Like, they had a lot of gear for a long time. People pointed at the gear, but I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't think it's just
they just
that
have they just have the best players.
They got the skill,
in as a general rule. Now, obviously, BR and Digi have phenomenal players. Corrupt has phenomenal players, but the depth that Cho has still beats any other roster that we've got. But we're slowly seeing the other guilds kind of catch up over time, as more and more players do join the game and join the PvP scene. Not everyone goes to Cho, you know what I mean? Some players are always going to go to this guild or that guild, and they're going to get strong. But on the whole, there's always going to be a guild that's kind of just dominantly on top, whether it be Man Up or Cho Nation is kind of irrelevant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. So we also have the 200% BSR rework coming up. And I'm curious what your guys' thoughts on this, because like for a long time, to understand, guys, the BSR is the Black Spirit Rage. This is your ultimate ability in the game. It's not just your ultimate ability. It's like the super ultimate ability. And my understanding was that they just wanted it to be a cool looking ability. That's what I thought. Like, I didn't think that like they were trying to make it practical for every class to use, because really there's only one 200% BSR that really gets used in the game. And it's the Berserker. 200% BSR, the Succession Berserker 200% is quite obviously the best 200% in terms of practicality in the game. It's extremely good. It's the reason that there's a 30-minute cooldown on allowing you to use the skill in the first place. But now they're talking about like kind of reworking the skill so that they're usable. So like that's like super weird to me. Like I thought that it was just supposed to be a cool looking skill. So I'm curious what you guys have to think about that. Now, Blonde, you are a Zerker main, so I'll come to you second because you're already on the class that's really good. Jay, you played some of these classes that they're going to rework, like Witch, like I do. What do you think about the 200% BSR? Bro, send help.
Well, they definitely feel extremely, extremely outdated on the older Awakening classes, especially. The Succession classes got a little bit more love with their 200%, especially the Suck Zerker. Some of them are still really, really, really lackluster. And I disagree with you actually when you said that it's just to be a flashy skill. I think that the 200% should be something that should be usable, because they make these like really, really cool animations, like the especially the newer classes like Wusa, Megu, right? Their 200% look were beautiful in both Awakening and Succession, and they're just really unrealistic to use. There's so many factors that make them unusable. But the first one most obviously is the capacity of getting 200%. It takes a lot more effort, which is you have to either specialize to get 200% or you need to have somebody feed you 200%. And then the factor of it's a really long animation. It's really easy to get grabbed out of it and stuff like that. Or if you're using it in PvE, you could be put in a sticky situation where you can't cancel out of that ability. And then you're just, you know, I don't know, some sort of Olin fists you up the booty. You know what I mean? And so I think that the 200%, they're really cool. I think the 100% too, like just all the Black Spirit Rage's abilities, it makes it the dynamic of grinding a lot more interesting. I love using my 100% on my Wusa. The animations are beautiful. It's very powerful in both Awakening and Succession. It does still have that issue of being stuck in place, but whenever I have the chance, I always thought in my head, it's like, oh, hey, like I need to time it perfectly so that I'm in a safe position to cast it. And then, you know, that's when the big damage comes out. And I wish that was the same for the 200% that, you know, we have the option to use it. I'm not too sure what the direction they're going to go with the rest of the 200%. The Warrior one was recently previewed. Also, one like side note, they they put the Berserk outfit on the preview. Did you see that on the?
Yes, the Warrior. I
don't know if they're going to.
They did what? Whoa, back up. Back. What?
Yeah.
What did they do?
You know the Berserk? You know the Guts Berserk?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
like
yeah,
back
yeah.
In 2017. Uh-huh. They were previewing the new 200% of the Warrior with that outfit on. And I'm like, wait. So people have been speculating. Maybe we might get it back.
Teaser.
Yeah, teaser.
Wait, so, why would they do that? That's either like the cruelest. That is either the cruelest thing that they could possibly have done, or we're absolutely going to get really the Berserk cool outfit again.
Teaser.
Teaser.
Yeah, that would be sick. I think that people would love that. I think that just honestly any collab event would be super sick, but let's not get off get off on a tangent here. We're talking about 200%. I don't personally like 200% being overly powerful. I don't like the fact that every class can have a viable 200%. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think that certain classes are only like if they're really bad in large scale PvP, you should probably give them a 200%. That's like, let's say it's Succession Striker, right? Succession Striker blows. But if you gave him like a super crazy good 200%, he would have a purpose in large scale PvP, right? I think that it should be reserved for classes that already struggle in that kind of content. But like, if you give everyone a super good 200%, well, then the classes that are already really good at large scale PvP are the only classes that you're ever going to see in large scale PvP. You're never going to see any lower tier class ever again. You'll never see a Corsair. Why would you see why would you ever see a Guardian? Why would you see a Dark Knight? Why would you see a Lawn?
It's a good thing PvP is not the only content in the game. And I also want to point that out for PvE is that I want to use the 200% in PvE as well. So at least make them usable in PvE if the PvP is like, yeah, they can separate damage between PvE and PvP all the time, right? They do that all the time with, oh, you, this only works, the CC only stuns in PvP. This CC only works in PvE, or the damage is reduced in PvP and stuff like that. So they can separate it to make it more usable in other aspects of the game. And I especially want it to be more usable in PvE personally as a PvE player. They make these really cool animations. I just think it's such a waste that it's just a cool looking skill on the trailers for the classes. So
no, I mean, like, in PvE it's really easy to make it viable. That's what the tongue rat accessories are going to be for. Like, you can use your, if you want to use your 200% in PvE, you can totally just use it with that. But like, doesn't really need to be like, I'd rather just use my 100 in most cases.
The problem with that is that like most people who are like deep into PvE, they're gonna go for Debarekas. It's just much more realistic in that way. And so it's like, do I choose the Tungrad for just to use 200%? That's also on a 30-minute cooldown, so you can't even use it more than twice an hour as well. And I'm pretty sure the 30-minute cooldown was because of freaking Zerkers and their 200%, right? And
yeah,
so
fun fact
also needs to be
fun facts. Dismantled back in the day was the first guild to really start abusing the crap out of the 200% Zerker skill, because one of our Zerkers was like, hey, the 200% is really good. And so I was like, all right, well, let's try it. And we had no good players because we were like a new guild. So like, and then we realized that it just killed everyone. And then we realized that we could all just give them 200% every push. So we just started doing it all the time. And we just started bulldozing people. It was great. Then they finally nerfed it. But like, we were one of the first ones to kind of coin that. And then we decided to use Valkyries instead. Cause Valkyries 100% is actually just disgusting. And especially in T1, T2. But like, yeah, I mean, I think that 200% overall, the problem with making them, like, you can make them as good as you want in PvE. That's fine. But they're specifically talking about PvP. I think that, like, yeah, obviously, if it's good in PvP, it'll also be good in PvE, is kind of what they're saying. But, like, in general, they're talking about making the skill, like, viable to use, right? And obviously, they're talking about PvP in this case. And I think that giving every single class a 200% that is really good, if, for example, if Awakening Draconia had an amazing 200%, right now, Awakening Draconia's 200% is a joke. Can't use it, right? But if Awakening Draconia had an amazing 200%, why on earth would we ever want to funnel a Berserker? Why on earth would we ever need any other class?
Remove funneling.
That's the problem. Remove funneling. No.
Remove funneling.
What is got? And there we have the hot take this week. Honestly, Blonde, we thought it was you that was going to get flamed in the comments. Here we have Jaycoon with the hottest take in the game. I'm just throwing out ideas. Now, remove funneling.
That's the problem. If you say that the funneling is the problem for, like, why would you choose this class or that class? Just make it so that you can't funnel in the first place. And
well, it removes a lot of the strategy from the game. Shine. Like, a lot of, like, if you strategy, couldn't funnel BSR.
Did you like the, was that a likable strategy? It was
in AOS,
reason,
it's
right?
Fun. You can funnel, people for like 25% BSR Terra. Right, you have like the partial BSRs to work with for like AOS and stuff, like trying to make sure that your teammates are buffed up as much as they can be. In large scale PvP, I don't mind funneling like one or two classes, is totally fine, as long as the meta is not completely based around funneling. Oh, well, we don't have enough berserkers, so I guess we just lose, right? Like, if as long as it's not too overbearing, I don't mind funneling people. That's fine. I think it adds a dynamic to the game that you have to play around, right? Like, if you get 200%ed by Zerkers, right? I think it's in a pretty solid spot right now. If you get 200%ed by Zerkers on a push, you're like, okay, we got wiped that time, but now they can't do that for 30 minutes. Okay, now we can, now we know that that's on cooldown. We can do that to them now or whatever. There's like a dynamic. There's a push-pull that kind of goes into that. But like removing the ability to funnel would basically just take another dynamic out of the game. And I think that like it would probably just not be as fun in general. Like, and plus, in order, that would completely rule all the 200% changes that they're going to do completely null and void. Unless you were wearing a full tongue red set, which no one's going to do.
Well, I think that was the kind of like the idea with the ton, like buffing the tongue guard set, is so that it would be making it more appealing to be able to use the 200% for other classes. I just want more equality in terms of like 200% that are usable in the game, and hopefully like these changes make them more appealing to use. And that's like my whole like want for the game, is just having more usable 200%. I just don't like how Zerkers are the only ones that get to shine, is what I'm trying to say.
True.
Well, that's true, but like they need to be careful about which classes they're buffing. Like, for example, I think that Awakening Witch is 200% being buffed is totally fine, because Awakening Witch in large scale PvP is one of the worst classes in the game right now. Mm-hmm. It's really, really bad. But like an Awakening Mystic, for example, having a great 200% on an Awakening Mystic would make that class much more viable in large scale. Let's be honest, she doesn't have a tremendous amount of damage. She got the Marshall Shard rework not too long ago, which helped, but like having a 200% that was extremely disruptive, or like caused a tidal wave to go through everyone, like Nami in League of Legends or something, would be really cool.
So like that would be something I would agree with you heavily on, is if we were changing the 200% to make them more viable, make them have its own specific niche so that we have choices. Like you just said, the Mystic. Oh, if we have this Mystic as an extremely disruptible 200%, hey, this is an option instead of choosing the Zerker, which is mostly like a DPS AoE tool. But maybe this Mystic 200% could be, you know, hey, like you're communicating with your guild leader, hey, we need that Mystic 200%. Our Zerker's 200% is just, you know, is down for the count. Hey, it's time for the Mystic to shine for her like big CC moment, et cetera, et cetera. And so maybe that would be a way to incorporate the cooldown as a strategy as well, because there's a cooldown. Hey, like this is this class's turn to shine. This is the Corsair's turn to shine. This is the Witch's turn to shine for their 200% because of these cooldowns. And maybe that could be a direction they could go towards with reworking these 200%.
Oh, I completely agree. I think that like making some of the 200%, like I said, really good, totally fine. Making multiple 200% good, or too many 200% good, or if you make a class that is already super meta, for example, Succession Staff. If you buff the 200% of Succession Witch or Succession Wizard, particularly Succession Wizard, to be really good, or like on par with like a Berserker, we would never use other classes for any reason. Like there's like, again, a way
you would have
Draconia,
to if there's a cooldown.
Like, no, you just have another one. Are you kidding me?
You're stacking it.
Yeah, just have more. What do you think we're gonna do, Jay? I'll just bring like 15 staffs. Like, bro, don't worry, it's on cooldown. No, it's not. The next guy is just gonna use it.
Then
you just give it the next one. That was the problem with the Zerker 200, is that like, it, you know, if you had a lot of Zerkers, you could basically just 200% on every push. Nowadays,
should
if
we
you
not
try...
have that?
Well,
should
yeah,
we
you
not
should...
have the ability to it stack 200%.
Well, that's fine. But like it
like
shouldn't be
class,
strong enough that people want to do that. For example, if you try to stack Zerker to like, okay, everybody come on Succession Berserker tonight so we can all 200%. Okay, well, now your ball is so useless because there's not enough damage outside of the one or two 200%. So you're going to get off on every push that you've sacrificed versatility in the rest of your offense ball. It's just not worthwhile anymore. So like there needs to be like a certain amount of balance so that you can't just stack one of that class and just have it be objectively better because everyone can just 100 and 200% all the time or just feed each other, right? Like you just can't have that. You cannot put it on classes that are particularly good. Succession and Awakening Draconia are way too good. You can't put it on them. I don't think that you can give it really to Succession Lawn. I don't think you can give it to Awakening Nova. I don't think that you can give it to... I think you could give it to almost both specs of Corsair, to be honest with you. I think that I wouldn't mind giving Succession Corsair particularly could really use like a monster 200% would probably be pretty cool, and we'd see more of them. They'd be more impactful as well overall
what
as a class.
Supportive 200% potentially.
Shy's already too strong. You can't do that. Like I assume that what you mean is like something like a Shy giving a 200% right now. Shy's 200% is like a super bubble heal. And it's mm-hmm. really good in like T1, T2, but like outside of that, it's really not super viable. But like you can't get Shy is already just way too good, man. You can't do anymore. If it was a supporting skill on like a Guardian, right? If it was like a 200% supporting mm-hmm. Guardian skill, it would be okay.
That's what I mean is,
but like it would also need
an offensive and a defensive or offensive and a supportive 200%.
It would need
that would be a direction they could go.
It would need a cooldown a lot like Protected Area has, where if you use it, you can't have the buff again for another 30 minutes. Like everyone would need
the
debuff. Yeah, like
it would be exclusive. Like one, getting, if you use the offensive one, then the defensive one also goes on cooldown or something.
Yeah. It would need like so that people aren't just constantly spamming the, because otherwise if it's a really impactful supporting buff, people are going to say that they need it on mm-hmm. every push, and then we're going to start stacking that class and you've completely ruined the meta again. So like you got to be really careful. I'm actually nervous that they're even buffing them, but I'll be honest with you, Awakening Wizard, I hate that every time they're going to give Witch something, they give Wizard something, because Wizard has always been better than Witch at basically everything in the game. It's very, very frustrating. If you compare Awakening Witch and Awakening Wizard, Jay, can you tell me a content or format where Awakening Witch is actually better than Awakening Wizard at anything in the game, anything at all?
Forward guards. Awakening Witch has more forward guards than wizards.
Yeah, but like I mean, in what format does that help them? Right, in PvE, Wizard has more damage. Right, Awakening Wizard's way better in PvE. So like in 3v3, in 1v1s, Awakening Wizard has a grab and has more burst damage, is better. In 3v3s, in AOS, your Awakening Wizard just has more damage and is objectively better, has more movement as well, and is just objectively better. In large scale PvP, the super armors and the damage that Wizard has also make it stronger overall. And it just has more like protection on its super armor, or it has more like DR on its super armor. It also has higher base stats than Awakening Witch does basically across the board. The only thing that Awakening Witch really does better than Awakening Wizard is that it's got a little bit more range than Wizard does. And like you said, it's got frontal guards instead of super armors. The problem is, right now in the current format, that makes Wizard better than Witch at every single thing in the entire game. And in PvE, Awakening Witch used to be queen. Awakening Witch used to be much better than Awakening Wizard in PvE. But we just couldn't have that, so they buffed Awakening Wizard to be better than Awakening Witch in PvE. It's been crazy. Like, I have not seen it. Like, the only thing, if you compare Succession Witch and Succession Wizard, Succession Witch is better at PvE than Succession Wizard is. But Succession Wizard's better at every single other thing in the game as well. So, like, I mean, people are saying Awakening Witch is very popular in PvE. It's not as popular as Awakening Wizard is, and that's because people realize that it's stronger. And so, like, and because Awakening Wizard is stronger, if they rework the 200% BSRs, I think they're going to give Awakening Witch and Awakening Wizard basically the exact same 200%. They always do this. They're going to give it the same 200%, but witches will be electric and wizards will be fire, right? Or something like that. And that means that Awakening Wizard is better than Awakening Witch yet again. Once again. So, like, I don't like that they're actually buffing this 200%.
I feel like when it comes to like what's better, like there's many other factors other than like performance. Sure, maybe if we're like just looking at performance,
that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about,
is performance, right? That's what they're talking about, is the 200% performance. If we were talking about just like raw having fun, no one would care, right? It's just a cool looking skill, but you said it yourself. Like we want to make the skill viable, particularly, especially in PvP. Like, that's what they're, like, looking, because they said, yeah, they're too slow and clunky to use in PvP, so we're going to speed them up, we're going to make them more viable across the board. That would mean for PvP. And if they buff Awakening Witch and Awakening Wizard in the exact same way, again, Awakening Wizard comes out on top. Again. But, like, it's like this for a lot of classes and specs. Striker is typically better than Mystic. Wizard is better than Witch. Musa is better than Mewa. Ninja is better than Kuno. And I'm talking strictly in terms of PvP, but sometimes also in PvE. The only matchup where it doesn't, Archer is better than Ranger. The only matchup where it doesn't really line up is technically Valkyrie is stronger than Warrior if we're not talking about 1v1 PvP. Right? That's like the only time. And even then, Warrior is still better in PvE in most cases. So, like, I mean, like, if you compare Succession Warrior and Succession Valkyrie, it's not even close.
So if we're just looking at like the counter classes, you're saying in order to like, should we just have them branch off and have their own niche that makes them better than one at the other? Like, for example, correct, like Witch is better at these certain aspects and Wizard is better at these certain aspects.
Yes, 100%.
And so
especially for Witch and Wizard, it's really easy. That's really easy, right? Because Awakening Witch already gives defensive stats to your allies. And the Awakening Wizard gives the offensive stats to your allies. Well, you could just buff Witch's defense. You know, you just buff them in different ways. Buff Witch's defensive and buff Wizard's offensive, right? Like, then there's a use for, there's a use case for both of them, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, they don't ever do that. They don't want to, like, separate the classes at all. And so the one that's just objectively stronger stays stronger over time. I don't know. Blonde, how do you feel about this?
Oh, hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Blonde.
Do we have any details about the change? Like, do we have, like, the exact change, or they just mentioned...
They showed us a couple 200% that they were working on. And then,
okay, they showed us, like, numbers, or they just showed us the visuals?
Just the visuals.
Okay.
Just the
Did they explicitly say whether it was a visual or a numbers thing? Like, did they talk about, like, what they were actually doing?
Well, they said that they're
completely different animation, so I imagine they're gonna.
It's a completely different skill, completely different animation, different. It's different cast times, different damage, right? Blonde, in your opinion, what makes a good 200%?
200% have to go with like class identity in the game design. So like I do agree in the sense that like if every sometimes I used to feel like if everybody had just an awesome 200%, we'd all have fun. But then when you think about classes that are extra mobile, classes that can stealth, classes that have things that other classes don't, like Ninja or Drac, or super tanky classes that can get in and get out really quickly, it's not really fair for those classes to have a 200%. And then some class that has nothing but just a 200%, I feel like the meta will always shift into the OP class that's already OP, that already also has a 200%, staying with the 200%. Yep. However... I think it's not simple or complex. It depends on the angle you want to take on it. I think that the meta is always going to shift no matter what. Like if we find something 1% better, we're always going to go with that. But I think that it's kind of tough because what do you want more? Do you want is the goal for everybody to have fun in all aspects of the game, or do we want like a balanced PvP scene that has like again a meta with classes? Because I do like Jay's concept of like, you know, they're 90% of the population PvE and don't PvP. Like PvP is an unfortunate minority, and so we want players to participate and use these things outside of PvP. Like it's something that's part of that part of the game. Now, I'm not saying I want everything in PvP to be absolutely broken and unfun and ruin that. And that's more of a numbers game for anything. But I think it would be cool if, like, if every class had, like, an ultra 200%. Not all of it always has to be damage. You could have some with, like, a super 200% vacuum. You can have some with, like, a 200%, like, ultra debuff mode or something. I think they can get really crazy with it. But I think that probably starting with the animations first and going from there is probably the get-go, because if you have a class that has a really just garbage to like, what is it? I think that, Scholar's 200%, you literally, the animation is so long that there's no way you're ever going to get it casted off in any real war. And it's like a joke. It's just meant to be flashy for trailers. Exactly. Like what you guys were saying. I think that it's like not even a thing that's to be used. So I think that like, if they can get the animations down to where like everybody kind of has like something that's probably usable and sped up in like a decent amount of time, I think they can then numbers game it. But I think it's tough when you have everybody having a viable PvP 200-100%, because then you're just going to make the stronger classes even stronger by giving them even more gas, you know what I mean? But when it comes to PvE, I think that it's so weird when I remember back in the day when I did Olin's with Jay, he would literally buff one of us to have 200%, and then the first pack we would always just 200% the mobs just for fun, and it was miserable. My 200% spin did like the same amount of damage as my regular spin on an Olin's mob, and I'm like, that's kind of lame. I feel like that it's just a numbers thing. Just like adjust the numbers and make it fun to use in other aspects, and you can create this sort of build diversity where it's like, I just like 200%, so I'm going to be a 200% gamer, you know what I mean, for my PvE stuff, because the damage output every once in a while is like equal to having more AP or whatever. I feel like they could, you know, create that. Or situations where if you're in like a 30% AP cap zone, you want that 200% because you get a big burst, or whatever, and then you get the buff bonus for it. I think that it's possible. It's just, it depends on what PA's decision is going to be based around, whether it's PvE or PvP. But I think they can always just go and adjust those numbers for PvE. So I don't know why they never have. Maybe it's just one of those things that, like, okay, we tackled this and this and this, and now we're going to go look at the 200% and kind of go from there.
You know? We'll see. Like, again, I don't think that they should rework it for classes that are already doing really well in PvP. I think that it should only really be reworked for classes that are struggling, anything, to give them purpose in PvP.
So we don't, if anything, nerf it so we don't have to wait a 30-minute cooldown. You know how miserable it is to be useful once every 30 minutes? I mean, luckily, Zerker has an awesome 100 and 200, Zerker, so it's really useful all the time. But for other classes, that shiz must suck. Like, what do you get to do on Node War? Just sit there and in, out, in, out. Oh, God, so boring. I get to go in, blow up, and walk back.
Is it just for Succession, Zerker? Is the Awakening any good?
Oh, no, the Awakening's terrible. Yeah, Awakening Zerker's 200% is a joke. Awakening Zerker's 100% is...
If you want to be up on the leaderboards, but down on how good you are in the note, like, if you just want to be up in leaderboards, you play Awakening, but if you want to be actually useful, you play Succession. Like, you maybe get more kills in the board as Awakening, but...
older Awakening classes that their BSRs aren't... Like the 100% for Witch, for Awakening Witch, it's okay. It's like fairly fast. You know, it does give you, you know, it's nice that they give you the 100% absorb with the 100%. But definitely they could use some visual updates at the very least. If they don't change the animation, just change like how the visual looks, because they feel like really old. I don't know if they want to go over the older Awakenings pre-Awakening kit just in general. Just like Absolute Fireball is like so stinky looking. Absolute, just like the older pre-Awakening kit too. Just like visually too, I'd really love for them to just like give it a little bit of a TLC, Tender Love and Care.
Do you see more representation of Succession or Awakening classes in War? Like, is there a disparity between how many of one or the other? Like, does Succession just dominate Node War caster?
It used to be that Succession would dominate Node Wars, but nowadays it's a little bit more mixed. Overall, I would say you definitely probably still see a little bit more Succession overall, but you still have some Awakeningly, like, some classes are just predominantly just better in Awakening, right? Musa and...
Because they maybe don't got the good suck. Right.
Well, even honestly, you see both, but...
I wonder if, like... I mean, I do agree that, like, classes that literally have no identity in Wars and basically don't get brought to Wars, it would be cool if they had an identity. So maybe bringing those up to par on, like, their Awakening side and then just kind of going from there. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world to give a class that literally doesn't get represented in Node Wars or Siege or any PvP to, like, get to participate because now they've got something usable. But, yeah, there is definitely, like... Valk and Zerker just having the best time of their lives because they just get all the focus because, you know, they got the best ones, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that, like, Zerker is in a fine spot. Yeah, it's not super crazy viable in PvP outside of its BSRs, but that's what makes it good. That's why I think that if you gave other classes the opportunity to do that, it would be fine. But, like, again, it can't be any classes. It can't be classes that are already good. They've got to be classes that are bad in PvP. Like need to be better in terms of PvE. How do you feel, Jay?
Numbers game.
Yeah, Jay, would you rather cast your 200% and get that double buff for a minute, or would you rather cast, because it's going to take a lot longer, or presumably I guess twice as long, but then the buff only lasts for 1 minute, right? So like, isn't it better to just use the 100% buff over and over and over again,
because you'll be buffed more frequently? Much more consistent to have the 100% buff over a minute than the 200% over a minute, but There is the 30-minute cooldown, so I can't even... Or do you mean absorb it every...
Well, I mean, use 200%. Slash absorb. Yeah, like based on the buff in PvE.
In PvE, probably the 100%, just because it's a lot, you know, more uptime, and generally more consistent uptime performs better than just having a 200% every 1 minute, which takes double the amount of, you know, BSR to accumulate.
Yeah, but what if you get to one shot, like a pack of Olens from full health to zero?
If it allows me to do that, then yeah, for sure. I mean, again, it's the 200% can't be casted more than twice per hour, which is the biggest issue.
And they remove the cooldown.
What if they remove the cooldown?
No.
Listen, it's just a numbers game. They just the numbers.
Hypothetical. If they were to remove the
200%, it's not just a numbers game.
For PvE.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, how do you remove it for just PvE? How do you even do that?
Node War activates a secondary weird thing that lets it happen.
Bro, they're literally running on Windows XP here. You're kind of dreaming.
I am.
There is not a chance. Like, I've never seen them even be able to do anything like that for other things. I don't know, I just don't see it.
Yeah. Because literally, didn't they have to change an ability for Shadow Arena? They had to change Moose's Chase because it wouldn't work in the game.
Okay, I remember in Shadow Arena, they changed the way... Okay, have you guys ever, like, ran over, like, a little ledge and then your character did, like, a little leap over it?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That was changed because of Shadow Arena, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, we used to just, like, climb up, like, regularly. For like these lower ledges, but now when you're running forward and pressing spacebar to like go over it, you do like a little like leap.
Parkour,
it, right?
I love the hardcore. I always say that as I jump over it. Parkour.
It's so annoying. I don't like that.
I love it. You vault over like a little thing. I don't know about
vault,
you guys.
That's what it's called. Yeah, the vault. That was added because of freaking Jenner. Yeah.
I love that. I think that is great. I love the little vault. Why would they take that away?
I don't like it.
Yeah, they could be more incentivized to use 200s in PvE and want that to change if it actually did any damage, but the fact that it doesn't do any, it just seems like a nonsensical ability to use in PvE. They did buff 100% a while back.
They did
a lot of it when they did the PvE rework for classes, and now I use that pretty common on my Zerker. Like, if I reach 100%, I use it, right? Because it's actually useful. So maybe this is like, okay, we're going to update old animations and we're going to actually adjust numbers, and maybe it'll be useful in PvE. But then, like, yeah, having the 30-minute cooldown and other stuff is going to be, like, kind of an awkward conversation of, like, hey, are we going to remove that cap? And if so, does that mean you're going to actually adjust and balance the PvP side of things? Because that would have to be adjusted, because there's no way they would leave it. It just depends on what they do. That's why I was asking if they had any details, because, like, with just animations looking cooler and they're talking about doing it, until we see some numbers, it's kind of like, who knows, man? PA just might make it like League of Legends where everybody has some random OP ult. Who knows? You know?
I don't know. We'll see. I think that the 200% is... it's a tough thing. I think you can only really buff it for PvP. Overall, trying to use it in PvE is not super viable because you'd have to put on like a full tongue grad set, which is going to grief your PvE anyway. No one's going to do that. Right, like no one is gonna do that. Everyone's gonna have their debos on for PvE, like, cause you want the damage, right? You have the tongue grad rings are typically fine for now, until the debo rings come out, and then you're gonna want the debo rings on because like they're just gonna be more efficient. Overall,
yeah,
that's
another factor of just not being able to just use the 200% at all is because you have to specialize. Go ahead.
Do you think we could have more build diversity if they did cap everything? Because you wouldn't feel pressured to constantly always use the most AP in gear? Like, wouldn't that lead to more diversity because you're actually able to use alternative sets with different specialized damage and stuff? Instead, you have to use most HP for certain node wars or most AP sets or whatever. Like, do you think that would lead to better build diversity? And is that something we care about? Or do we not really care because this is...
By capping, do you mean like, oh, once you hit 1,000 AP, then like all your AP is useless? So
like, I guess how they have monster damage reductions where after a certain amount of AP in a node war, you're like getting a 70% reduction or 30% reduction. Not that I want to cap the whole point of grinding and getting gear, but it's like, do we care more about build diversity and be able to use other stuff? Or do we care more about... Like what is valued? Like, if you could create a better fight out of those situations with better build diversity, is that better or worse? Or do we want everybody just kind of running the same stuff so that way we kind of... There's never a mystery in the fight, right?
Yeah.
I think When it comes to like my personal favorite way of adding diversity is that you don't have to like the cups. Like I think the cups were a good way to build.
Cups
like
are cool.
I see conversations all the time. Oh, should I go crit cup for the ring or the HP cup? And I explain, oh, like if you go crit cup, you know, you do a little bit more damage. It's always going to be usable in PvE. Mm-hmm. For, you know, the HP one, HP one gives you more survivability in PvP. It also improves your forward guard. And so those are like really good niche options, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I wish that more build diversity was in that way. And so, rather than like direct gear, like swaps, you know, so it's like a alteration of what you already have. If anything is how I would go about build diversity. So I don't know, maybe they could have a BSR cup or something, and that would be a more realistic way for us to be able to use the 200%, you know, and
wouldn't it be cool if cups were like swap outable once you like got I don't know if you got like two of them.
Well, they are kind of swappable.
Yeah, for a cost.
With the removal.
What if it was like the crystals? Like once you acquired a cup, you just placed it into your thing. Because once you get a cup, no one ever gets rid of the cup. Right, it's like it's not like crystals where if it breaks it's gone forever and you got to buy a new one. It's literally like if I have a cup and I'm taking it off a piece of gear, I'm not buying another cup, I am just taking it off and putting it back on my gear. Right, like what if that was like on a redeemable like preset? Because I have no reason to get the other ones that I don't use, but I don't know, man. Maybe if I maybe I'd try them out if it didn't cost me $2 to swap them back and forth and then I had to buy another one for $5. Like once I had them, I was kind of done and I could kind of go with it. I don't know. I kind of like that. But I don't know. Like, I don't know how much people care about build diversity. Sometimes I see, like, whenever I look at comments in YouTube sections and stuff like that,
it's
like,
very contradictory.
So, it's like you have a bunch of players saying, yeah, I want more build diversity, this or that, or build diversity's dead. And then some people are like, I just want a balanced game. Like, I don't care about build diversity if we can just get the game balanced so it's fun. It's like, okay, like, how much do we value? Like, how much is this worth versus, like, balancing the rest? Like, I don't know. I kind of don't know where a majority of people's heads are at. I feel like people like ideally want build diversity, but only if that comes after the game is like kind of in a balanced state.
Want build diversity as it goes. It's never going to be, you're never going to have a state where everybody's sitting at end game gear in a game like Black Desert Online.
I think that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't they have to cap all wars that you could have build diversity? Because in, if it's uncapped, you're always going to go forward full AP because nothing else is really worth it, right? But then if you have capped content, you have no motivation for people to play other than for the sake of playing because the playing part is fun. I don't know. It's kind of tough to like make a stake on that because like I feel like you kill one thing for the life of the other. There's probably some balance. Listen, hey, if you want to comment in the comment section where you can find a medium balance between that, please go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
Comment. Let's beat our record of 126 comments, guys.
That was kind of amazing. I loved it. That was unreal.
And honestly, I owe it all to Blonde Bear for encouraging that community engagement with those hot takes every week. You know what I mean? You just couldn't do it without him.
As hot as those takes were, there were some people in the comments that got what I was saying. I maybe didn't have the perfect solution, but some people kind of get the mojo, okay?
Those comments were downvoted. It's okay.
Yeah.
All good. Sorry. Look, I love reading comments because they always people just go off the wire with the comments sometimes. And since it's text, you can kind of just infer what their tone is and stuff. We absolutely love it. Although we are out of time for today's podcast, we're going to move it over to the patch note rundown next. But let's do the outro and closing thoughts. We started with Jay last time. So, Blonde.
Hey, catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear where I will never stop grinding Olens ever because the merchant ring will not drop.
Nice.
You can catch me always. I also, actually, as much as we did do a comment review, I love reading the comments and talking about them on stream because, you know, it's just a fun way to flesh out ideas and get the juices flowing and understanding the game more and understanding the players. So please comment. I love reading them. I appreciate it. Even if you hate on me, listen, I love constructive criticism. So go ahead. I think the 200% is going to be interesting to see what happens. It's kind of a we'll see scenario until we see some numbers. And then when it comes to the node or change, that's a big yikes. I hope that doesn't come because I don't know anybody who's excited for that. So,
Right on. So, Jay? Yeah.
Yeah, closing thoughts is Nodwar, yup. And then 200% I
Yep.
200%,
Yep.
I hope that I can use them more in PvE. Please let me show off my cool animations during the grind,
Heck yeah.
please. But yeah, you can find me over at JKun VT, V for the T, or twitch.tv, you know what I mean? Comment.
Yeah, you guys heard him. It's Jaykun TV, T before the V. All that hard work he's been working for, all these
No.
every time, bro. It's only to mess it up. And I am Blue Squadron. There's always something happening on my channel, guys. We're gonna be going over the patch note rundown next. There's two new YouTube videos every single day. We are in the OTK's top streamer competition. We are in the top 10 now, of that
No
competition.
shit.
And this week is a cooking stream. So on Thursday, I'll be cooking a Madaya meal live on stream in my kitchen IRL. So I'm gonna try to make like a Madaya meal IRL on Thursday. So you guys will be able to see that. That'll be happening around 1 to 2 p.m. Central. I think it's 2 p.m. Central is when it's supposed to start. I'll probably start a little bit sooner, just because I kind of want to get underway there. So I could really use your support on Thursday. But from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, make sure you guys comment on the video. We read those comments. We're going to start doing a segment at the start of each podcast where we kind of read some of the better comments from the week, and we kind of scroll through. So if you want to see your comment get showcased, you can always check back the next week as well. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week, guys.